Today, we're going to talk about what happens when you bring home this sweet puppy and they start growling at your kids. I'm here to tell you don't have to choose between your child or the puppy, because maybe for some of you that might be a difficult decision. I will give you tips and tricks and tell you, first of all, we'll talk about how to make sure we don't get to that point where the puppy feels like they have to growl. But we'll talk about what leads up to that, and then what can you do. A huge disclaimer: this is assuming you bought your puppy responsibly and ethically from a breeder who raised their puppies the empowered badass breeder way, who gave their puppies a voice in their placement, so you had an idea on temperament, and that you're overall dealing with a balanced puppy. Even good balanced puppies can growl at children. This can be normal. And all this really is saying is, unfortunately, I'm sorry, but you failed. And I'm going to tell you why, so that you don't have to ever, for one, if you get a new puppy, you're never put in this position. But two, if you are, now you know what to do and you can understand it from a puppy's point of view, why they went from the sweet puppy and about average 3 days after getting the puppy, they start growling at your children. And if that's the case, I know exactly why. I have never had a puppy returned because of this. I've had this happen a lot, and through the years of placing puppies and hearing this complaint, I figured out why. I figured out how to help the clients after through a simple phone call, and never an issue again. So, one, I'm thankful that people do listen to this advice and take me seriously and do implement these things to begin with, because otherwise then puppies would be returned. And the ultimate goal, of course, is to keep puppies in their home. But just as importantly is to make sure we're honoring and respecting our puppies. This is where it comes down to. And I hope overall today there's a lot of aha moments for you that you're like, gosh, I never thought about it that way. I'm not here to make you feel bad if you've been this owner in the past. I am here to merely educate for the future, be the voice for our dogs. We only can do the best we can do with what we know. I have been here. I've raised puppies this way where then we did have growling issues because I only knew one kind of mindset, and maybe you're in that mindset too. So let's talk about that. Let's figure out what you can do. Yikes, my puppy is now growling at my kids. I think that always makes parents, it makes me, even when I still hear it, and it kind of makes your heart drop a little bit, because you think, oh my gosh, there's your worst fear is to have a dog that bites your kids. Nobody wants that. And so, trying to ensure that that is not an issue is absolutely what we want to do. First and foremost, if your puppy gets pushed to the point where they feel like they have to growl at your child or even nip at them, you missed the signs and you've lost their trust. No puppy and no dog growls or bites without warning. So this idea of it came out of nowhere, I have no idea, that's false. It's you missed it. You didn't see it. You didn't know what to look for, maybe. You weren't paying attention, or you missed it. At the end of the day, it was missed. And so, again, disclaimer, we're talking about healthy, well-bred puppies. This is not a show for an aggressive dog, an aggressive rescue dog. This is an 8-week-old puppy you bring home, and typically within 3 days to a week, they weren't growling at your kids, and now they are. Okay, so that's what we're talking about specifically today. So puppies and dogs don't growl out of no warning. So now that we know that, we can eliminate that issue. Stress signals were missed. So often we don't see the stress signals, especially in young puppies. We don't think what they're doing is actually displaying stress. So let's talk about what those look like. Very, very common when little kids are playing or packing around. The puppy, they are giving stress signals. Number one, we don't realize it, or number two, we miss it. Either way, it's a fail on our part. Because what happens if the puppy's continually to tell the humans around them, I'm overwhelmed, I've had enough, I need a time out, please, and you don't listen, you're losing their trust and their respect in you. And it pushes them to the point that then they feel like, I have to do something about this because nobody is protecting me. Nobody's listening to me. And it's really sad, actually, when you step back and look at it from a puppy's point of view. So stress signals are avoidance. It can be so slight. But if you go to pet a puppy or you're holding a puppy and they look away, they walk away, they try to go behind the couch, they try to slide underneath the coffee table, they try to go somewhere private to be with themselves with their toy or take a nap, and you ignore that, and your kids are pulling them back and holding them and carrying them and trying to keep them awake to play, you're missing those stress signals. Yawning does not mean they're tired. That's them letting you know, okay, I've had enough, time out. Can we abort mission? Whatever's happening, I'm uncomfortable with, and I need somebody to step in and protect me. And what a beautiful chance and role we're given as adults to be able to really create an environment for our young children and our puppies to cohabitate in a beautiful, respectful way. It's just as much about teaching our children these things as well. And that's a true gift. That's a gift you give your child for the rest of their life, to teach them about dog psychology, to teach them about dogs have needs too, to teach them about this is really how we respect and honor our dogs. There was this, it was when I was being raised, there was this idea that you can and should do anything you want, whenever you want to a dog. And while I still feel like some of that holds true, that dogs have to comply, there's a big miscommunication of thinking that you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, and not listen and respect and make sure your dog's needs are being met either. And that's a huge disservice to our dogs. So if stress signals are missed, guess what's going to happen over time? Some puppies may never stand up for themselves. This is absolutely a type of puppy for sure, a different temperament of a puppy. Some will never stand up for themselves, number one. Number two, some will, and it will go from growling to biting. Our number three, some puppies will never really care. They never really care if they feel like they've lost all free will. So there's definitely ranges in, just like with people, how much they're willing to tolerate. And even with the best breeders, the puppies being raised on the best curriculum, their voice being given in placement, it can be very, very difficult to discern, so not all the time, but sometimes, which puppies those are. For the most part, in our evaluations, we say they don't love improper handling. They comply, they don't love it. Definitely an indicator, a huge indicator that this puppy requires respectful handling. Watch my stress signals. I need my needs met too. Like that is a requirement. There's absolutely those some puppies you can do whatever you want, whenever you want. And they just like, I don't care. I love everything about you. Like you could do whatever you want. And then of course there's that other edge of dogs that really, really require, really respectful, reliable handling. And those puppies we absolutely will not place in homes with young children. But just know that there can be some gray area. These are still puppies. And at the end of the day, any and all dog puppy can growl and bite. Like that's a dog. And if you're really, really concerned about that, don't get one, number one. Or number two, let's learn more to make sure that your puppy feels nothing but respected and valued in their new pack. Okay, another reason why these puppies are getting to the point where they're growling is there's absolutely too much handling and lack of free will. Think about it from their point of view, whether it's one, two, three. Think about a home with three children, right? Everybody has these expectations of the puppy, and this is the last bullet point, too many humans expecting something from them. They now come in and everybody's so excited, and I understand. I know everybody's been waiting. Kids have been nagging and wanting a puppy forever. You've been planning and preparing and talking about, you've done everything right. You found a good, ethical, responsible breeder. You've had time to prepare. You've had time to puppy proof, set up safe areas. Puppy comes home. Everybody's so excited. That's a lot of demand for one puppy. kids are sharing. Now this kid's packing the puppy around. This one's taking something out of its mouth. This one's waking it up to carry it around. This one's putting baby clothes on. Now it's getting pushed in the puppy stroller. It tries to go back to sleep, but then someone else picks it up. And now it's finally mom's turn to hold the puppy. If you think about it, if you can step back and look at how much is this puppy really being handled, how much free will are they losing? And I'm telling you, almost 100% of the time, it's too much handling. They've lost way too much free will, that they're not able to make any kind of decisions for themselves. Kids dictate, and they do. They dictate the play, what to play with, how they'll play. And it can just be really, really exhausting and frustrating for these puppies. It gets to the end of the day, they're like, I just want to sleep. Or can I please just eat in peace? Can I please just chew on my toy without you continuing to take it and think it's funny? Like, it's not always funny, that there should be this mutual, we're either playing fetch or we're playing tug, and that's very much the agreement. But when they take that toy and they go somewhere, they go under the coffee table, they go behind the couch, they go across the room, they go on the other rug to sit and play with their toy, respect that. They've literally disengaged, they've avoided, they've moved from you. Teach your kids, puppy just said they're done. It's that simple. Wait till puppy comes back and re-engages, and then you can play again. But as of now, leave them alone. There's no person that could meet the demands we ask our puppies to meet initially, especially when there's more than one child in the home. There's no safe space to eat or sleep. Again, a lot of this comes back to the idea of, people have talked about, put your kids' hands in the bowl. Make sure their hand can be on the bone when they're chewing on it. Crawl into the kennel with them when they're sleeping and kind of lay on them and tug on them and this and that. Again, you know what? You know the best way to raise a respectful dog you could do anything to is to respect them in the first place. And so this forcing yourself on them, especially as a young puppy, when they do require a lot of sleep, overtired puppies are naughty. Overtired children are naughty. Overtired humans are crappy as heck. We can't function. We're not nice. We don't perform well. Nothing about our day goes well. So think about over and over and over, these puppies aren't getting enough sleep. They're not getting quality time alone. They have no say in anything. We would be growling too, all right? Everything is taken from them. God love them. And a lot of times puppies really enjoy this reciprocal play. But again, when they say, I'm taking my toy and I want to be left alone, it's huge to be able to point that out to your children and say, hey, buddy just told us he wants to play alone right now. Let's respect him. That's their language. Kids can tell each other, I don't want to play with you. Or, you know, they go in their room and shut the door. You know, there's all these very clear human signs to each other, but we're not listening to our puppies when they're telling us the exact same thing. So everything a puppy does is purposeful. So when they get up and they remove themselves, honor and respect that. If you're always taking everything out of their mouth, you can create puppies that then feel like they have to guard or gulp something. And that's another whole issue on top of everything else. And so we really want to make sure that you're not taking all the time. How about giving two? How about always two toys? So you're playing fetch and they have one in their mouth. Throw the next toy. Let them decide. Are you going to go get that other toy? You're going to try to get both toys? Are you going to bring it back to me? I really work on, and I teach, you know, I taught Jenna too, and I've taught my kids, make it that they want to play with you and they want to drop that toy and they want that reciprocal, I want to work with and for you, like we work with our puppies. This whole dominating, yanking toys out of their mouth and chasing them and pulling toys out of their mouth and then throwing them, and then like it becomes this kind of really negative thing, right? Can you see that? Can you imagine if people played with you that way? It was almost kind of bully-ish when you think about it from their point of view. it's really kind of manhandling bully-ish that they're constantly getting everything just taken from them. And they're like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, what's going on? Like, God, for crying out loud. We're not playing like they play, because when dogs play naturally, it's very reciprocal. You have the toy, I have the toy. You chase, now I chase. I pin you, now you pin me. That's a fantastic way to know too if it's appropriate puppy play, growling with another puppy or barking, as long as it's, I always look at, is it reciprocal? Are both dogs engaging? Then it is appropriate. If one dog keeps trying to say, I'm done, and avoiding and trying to leave and turn their back to them, and the other one keeps going and it gets intense, and there's always one dominating, and you can tell that the body language of the other one's not the same, they're both not happy and playful, then it's not normal. So we tend to do that as humans, though. We tend to be the dominating, domineering ones, and the puppy's telling us all these avoidance behaviors. So we're kind of like, I'm done playing. We're not playing reciprocal. This actually isn't fun. Or the other thing is, kids, they don't mean to, but when kids play, I see it all the time on Go Home Day. They are trying to play with them like a human, or what makes sense to them. And they're making the puppy mean. Let me say that again. The way in which your child may play with the puppy can make them mean. Think about, they grab a toy. If you've got little kids, you've had a puppy, you know, you've seen this. They have the toy on the toy, and they dangle it above their head, right? And the puppy goes to jump and grab the toy. And what does the kid do? They pull their hand back. They pull the toy up. The puppy can't get it. Then they drop the toy again and dangle it in front of their face. The puppy jumps to bite at it. And what does the kid do again? They pull it back up, over and over and over again. This is not reciprocal play. This is teasing. You're going to make a puppy frustrated. Frustrated puppies get mean, as we all would. Kids get frustrated and bite and hit each other too when someone's not sharing and being nice. You're taunting and teasing the puppy. It has to be reciprocal play. You can't keep dangling and pulling and dangling and pulling. You have to give the puppy the toy at some point. Like, let's not do that at all, actually. Like, teach your kids right away. We don't, that's teasing. That's teasing to a puppy. I know it's kind of fun for you to play keep away like that, but it has to be fair. You have to let the puppy have the toy, and then you get a toy, and then you both play with the toy, and then you'll switch toys, or you can play tug of war, you can play fetch. Make it very even play. Puppies are woken up far too much. It's a huge problem. We have a rule. We talk to our clients before they take home their puppy. Never wake a sleeping puppy, especially initially, to avoid stress and diarrhea in our puppies that have just gone home. Puppies sleep far more than we think that they do. And God love our puppies, though. They will try to stay up and play. And especially if this kid's waking them up and this kid's engaging and wanting them to play, and they keep trying to play and they keep trying to play and they're not sleeping, or they just finally fall asleep and they're being woken up again. Oh my gosh, exhausting for a young puppy. You just need to have a rule right away. No waking a sleeping puppy. Now, if you have to put them in the kennel or you're leaving, or that's normal, but I'm talking about constantly keeping puppies awake, especially if the kids are, it can be very difficult for a puppy to transition to. Kids are gone at school all day, so the house is very quiet, especially if there's just one parent home. Everything's very consistent and reliable, right? And then all of a sudden, all the kids come home and it's all about the puppy, and they're basically fighting and passing the puppy. And now all of a sudden the puppy has lost all free will. It doesn't get to sleep now for hours and hours and hours. The schedule's all kind of shot. The kids do whatever they want. We don't even know where the puppy is or what room they're in. They're up on the bed with one kid. Another kid has them, you know, allowing them to chew on Barbies. Like, all the rules are being broken. It's very, very frustrating for a puppy. We already talked about everything is taken from them, and we've already talked about too many humans expecting something from them. Goodness sakes, you guys, these are babies. Stop putting so much pressure on them to fulfill everybody's needs in the family, especially a young puppy. That comes, but you have to earn that too. You know, again, this whole idea of we should be able to do whatever we want, whenever we want, and this dog has to serve us all the time. We really need to switch that thinking into let's build trust and respect, let's create a safe place, and let's make sure all of their needs are being met. Okay, so let's say unfortunately these things have happened to some extent in your home and now you have a puppy growling at your kids. What do you do now? Like, oh, Jeanette, how can we fix this, please? We don't want to get rid of this puppy, but we don't want this puppy unhappy either. And at the end of the day, unfortunately, that's exactly what's happened. So let me help you reset. I need you to trust me on this. It's going to feel really, really weird. But you have to think about, like I just told you, how we've overstimulated, bombarded, disrespected, dishonored our puppies. We need to reset everything and really work on honoring the puppies. So we want puppies to feel safe and understood, and we want puppies to have their needs met too. We've done podcasts and videos on their needs, and the first need of every dog, other than food and shelter, is rules, boundaries, and limitations. So let's go back to the drawing board and say, okay, what are the rules, boundaries, and limitations? And a safe space should be one of them. Like, hey, here's where you play for several hours a day in your own little fencing. You have your own toys. You can choose what toy to play with it, when to sleep. There's your water. Go in and out of your little kennel, maybe in and out the doggy door. You have a lot of free will, and you have some quiet time to learn how to self-soothe, okay? So rules, boundaries, and limitations. Everybody has to be on the same page. We need to sit down and talk about rules. When the puppy sleeps, we don't wake a sleeping puppy. We're not going to pack the puppy around. The puppy's not going to be packed around upstairs. No rooms. They're off limits upstairs. We're going to keep them downstairs. No picking up the puppy without mom or dad's permission. Like, sit down and make some rules and boundaries and limitations for the puppy and for your kids. The biggest gift you can give your kids is to teach them how to truly honor and respect a dog, because this is something that they will then be able to pass down through generations as well. And it's been a huge component that's been missing in our dogs' lives. So 3 days of ignore. So we're going to do 3 days of ignore. Yes, Carrie, make the bullet points bigger. Bum-ba-da-dum. There you go. I'll just talk behind the screen. How about that? So 3 days of ignore. So I get on the phone with them and I talk and I say, okay, we're going to do 3 days of ignoring. Let's see if I can click that. Of ignoring the puppy. Now, I don't literally mean like 3 days of you're not going to have anything to do with your puppy. I'm talking about 3 days of only allowing the puppy to engage when they choose to. So puppy goes into a safe space. Kids are told, no picking up the puppy, no doing anything with the puppy right now. I want to make sure that we reset the puppy's needs, and I need you guys to help me, right? So set that up with the kids. Really have this idea in your mind. I'm going to kind of ignore the puppy for 3 days. And again, all the needs need to be met. Rules, boundaries, and limitations, number one. Number two, a lot of mental and physical stimulation, not teasing and taunting and unbalanced play, like really focused on what our puppies need. So a lot of outside sniffing and fetching and tugging and really figuring out like, okay, what are my puppy's stress signals? You should know these, right? And then how does my puppy de-stress? You need to figure that out. If you buy from an Empowered Badass Breeder, when we're doing the puppy evaluation, you get a video of it. You can see where some puppies prefer to de-stress tugging. Some puppies prefer to de-stress playing fetch. Some puppies prefer to de-stress being petted or following you or re-engaging with you. And so figuring that out is really important too, because there's just times like the house gets overwhelmed and you just be, let's just go outside and be a dog. Like, let's reset. Forward movement and physical exercise is huge. The other thing too, we take them outside and we feel like we have to control everything. Like, oh, they're picking up this rock and this leaf and this and that. And while that's true, the best thing you can do is have a puppy safe area. So you're not worried about them getting it into everything, because that all what happens is the puppy thinks their name is no, they're getting in trouble all the time. The kids are chasing them now, which that's their favorite game, by the way. And that just creates problems. Now they start picking up rocks because the kids come charging at them and the puppy's like, crap, this must be of high value. I'm going to quick eat it, right? Because everybody in the pack's coming after me with this rock in my mouth. It needs to be a very quiet, let the puppy be a puppy, for crying out loud. Don't feel like you have to control everything they do. I think we do. We put so much pressure on, creating and raising this really good dog. And I know you've spent a lot of money on this puppy and a lot of time and energy. At the end of the day, though, please let the puppy remind you part of the power of a dog, of a puppy, is living in the moment, enjoying the small things. Go outside, spend time just sniffing and having them follow you and playing with them and fetch and tug. And I have toys in a basket that we only take when we go outside, and then I pick them all back up. I think it's really important to, I provide the toys to you and I pick them back up and we come back in the house. And so it becomes this bonding time too. I would say for the most part, this is not a family event right now. This should be with one adult, a very respectful time to go out and play, especially when we're resetting. Less is more. So let the puppy be a puppy without three kids chasing him around, picking him up, calling him, puppy, puppy. Like from their mind, like they're still got like a little puppy brain, man. And one of the favorite things for a dog to do, especially to de-stress, is sniff. They want to sniff everything. Let them do that. We don't want the kids all yelling for their attention and trying to get their attention and make it this very chaotic, frustrating time for them. This is their time. So especially a part of the first 3-day ignore program that I'm implementing for you. Make this a very quiet, beautiful time between you and the puppy, an adult and the puppy, or an older child that understands this. All right, so we're going to step back and we're going to implement the needs being met and giving them a lot more free will, being like, okay, little buddy, I messed up. I'm sorry. Like, we've been treating you like a little doll and passing you around and forgetting you're a dog and forgetting you have needs too. I'm going to make this right. So I'm going to create a safe space for them. That's like a timeout from the kids, from the craziness. So create a safe space. Kids cannot on those 3 days. I'm like, meh, no more holding, no more engaging with the puppy without permission for the next 3 days. And then after that, it's going to be done slowly and respectfully, because sorry guys, we messed up and we need to understand we didn't do the best initially. And that's why the puppy's growling. The puppy's truly telling us it's not feeling safe in our home. And we thought we were doing the right thing. And I know you all love the puppy and the puppy loves you too, but we need to learn to communicate better, right? That's like in any relationship. The communication hasn't been so great. So let's fix the communication. Over the next 3 days, you'll all have time with the puppy. It's going to be pretty limited right now. So the puppy can just kind of take a vacation, so to speak. What I like to do is put the child on the floor, tell him you can't move. Your butt needs to stay right here. Put some toys around the child, put the puppy on the floor. The rules are, make it a fun game. You only can engage when the puppy comes to you. So if the puppy comes to you, you can pet, you can play, you can roll the ball, you can play tug. But when the puppy leaves, you're stuck there. It's like you're stuck with glue. So let the puppy have all control over how much they engage with that child. This is a beautiful thing for you as a parent to sit and watch and witness, and you'll start to see which children the puppy feel the most comfortable with too. What stress signals, which children. This is not something you talk to your children about, like, oh, you're your favorite. This is something really important to learn about the dog. Like, this is your job to do. Is there something a particular child does that makes the dog more nervous? Do you see stress signals? Do you see them avoiding them more, and why? And then that's your chance to be able to lovingly educate that child. If you can, young children are just tough. They're unpredictable. They don't pet nice. Everything they do and the way they communicate, the way they move, is like a litter mate. So of course, puppies love to jump and bite, and you know, they treat them terribly because they treat each other, their litter mates, terribly. I mean, they're dogs. And so the biting and the jumping and all of that, it's in a very loving way, but you're like a litter mate. Tell kids they do not have to put up with that if puppies are jumping on them or nipping at them. Stand up simply, freeze like a tree, put your hands under your armpits, because what kids tend to do is push back to the puppy. But to a puppy, that means keep playing, because dogs use their paws in a way to engage reciprocal play, right? So we're saying get off of me, but to a dog, we're communicating keep playing more. So stop the pushing, hands up under the armpits, turn your back to them. How do dogs tell you they're done? They turn and walk away, or they turn around. So it can be kind of a fun game, and kids giggle, and I'm like, hey, turn again. Because when the puppy goes around to the front of them, I'm like, put your bum to him, turn your bum to him, keep turning your bum to him. And it's a beautiful thing to watch, because it depends how persistent the puppy is or how long this ill behavior has been allowed to happen. All of a sudden the puppy be like, okay, fine, you don't want to play with me, and just leave and walk away. Like, thank you. Like, communicating with the puppy correctly is such an amazing thing. And then the child, if they want, can sit back down and engage in play. If the puppy plays in a way we don't allow, kid stands back up, and that's literally the game and training for that session. All right. So sitting on the floor, letting the puppy approach and engage. Nothing is forced. It's short and fun. It's respectful. It's reciprocal. That's exactly what we're looking for. The treat game is taught. The show is not about this today, but if you're interested, you can email me at 4ekennels@gmail.com and I'll send you a handout. This handout goes home with all of our puppies we sell. If we teach this up front, I have never had a problem with resource guarding or gulping, because we just reframe again that communication with the puppy. You never have to protect anything. You never have to gulp anything. I will always give you something better. There is no competition. There's no value to that sock, that rock. I don't care. And it really helps put the dog in a more balanced state of mind. So then we would really make sure you start implementing the treat game to ensure you have a dog that it doesn't always go hand in hand. But if you have a dog that has the cojones to growl, and let your child know, knock it off, or we've pushed him to that point, it could potentially be the same kind of puppy that will guard or gulp something as well. So we're just going to head that off and make sure it's not an issue. I send this home with every puppy. I think every puppy should know this game. It's life-saving, and it also makes sure you never have a problem with guarding or gulping, and that alone has saved dogs' lives. Okay. Of course, the rule, never wake a sleeping puppy, is implemented, especially in those first 3 days. They need to eat in peace. Please let them eat in peace, or do the hand feeding, which I love, only with adults, because adults are consistent and fair. I've sat there and watched kids who weren't trained properly hand feed, and guess what they're doing? They're teasing. They think it's funny. I know they do, but they go to give puppy the food and they pull it away and they laugh and they giggle, and they go to give them the food and they pull it away and they laugh and they giggle. Like, but from the puppy's point of view, you're teasing and you're taunting, and then puppies will get more assertive, and then you're not going to like the way they respond to try to grab onto their hand to be like, okay, if this is a game we're playing and I need to grab your hand, that's actually what we're trying not to teach, right? So we don't want any kind of that teasing game from kids. So for the feeding, make it peaceful, make it respectful. Let them, you know, just ask for eye contact. Ask them to sit calmly, then give them their food. Kids don't need to be around. Let them eat in peace. How young kids can play with puppies actually teasing and creates frustration. I've talked a lot about that, so we need to make sure kids are playing differently with the puppy. Teach kids the needs of a puppy and watching for stress signals. Again, the biggest goal is to teach compassion for our kids, right? That's why so many of us want our children to raise a dog, to have a dog part of our family, because it does teach kids some truly valuable life lessons. And there's nothing greater for them to experience, I feel, than the power of a dog. And so we just want to set this up on a respectful, in a way to honor our puppies. So we need to teach our children that. So let puppy ownership with children, let that be part of your goal. Like, I really want my children to understand the needs of a puppy all the way into adulthood. You know, the needs of a dog, period. Stress signals of a dog. How to truly honor and respect a dog, because this alone, you're giving a gift to your child that will truly help our dogs passed our legacy, right? You know, something that they can continue to pass down. You know, give them that gift of dog communication. So, okay. I think I covered it all. Like, it seems so simple. I know a few of you have asked for the slides on this. I can post them on social media too, or in our private 4E kennel group. Yeah, thank you all. It's always any breeder. You know, we get that call, we get that email that the puppy is growling. It doesn't feel good to us either. It's never something that we want, of course. But what I have learned with so many clients and so many clients with children, this is why so many breeders, and I know some of you may have come across them, that they won't even place a puppy with you with small children. And I want to normalize that it's okay. But what I want and what I need from you though then is that you teach your children as well that how to respect and honor a dog, and that will be, you know, truly the most powerful thing we can do for our dogs. Carrie has a question. What about growling while playing tug? So I wouldn't, I would stop tug playing when growling if it's with a child, just because initially I don't want that intensity. So completely normal for puppies to growl. They had to practice all these potential life skills, right? Just like we do. Our little girls practice being a mom and holding a baby. They practice playing cook, right? Typically, and maybe our little boys too. Like, so we practice these life skills. Puppies do the same thing. And so growling, prey, the shaking to kill something, essentially, that's a little bit higher prey drive. When my puppies personally as a pet go into that higher state of mind of that prey drive, it's sliding between play, P-L-A-Y, and prey drive, I simply just get up and stop playing. Like, I'm not going to scold them for it. It's totally normal behavior, but I don't ever want that level of intensity connected with playing with my children or playing with me. I will say there are a lot of people that love that intense play. Like, they get on the ground and they're growling and they're like tumbling around with the dog on the ground, you know, like they're wrestling with their dog. There's nothing wrong with that. I just would not, here's just my word of caution. I wouldn't have any of that level of play for quite some time until the dog learns, I can play that way only with dad, or I only play that way with mom. Because what happens is when they're too young, they just think anybody wants to play that way. So they'll start jumping on your little kid and pulling at their sleeve or whatever. So I caution initially, especially when raising the puppy, that they don't play that way with anybody. That's why you should have some play dates with other puppies where it's safe. No dog parks, but friends with dogs, neutral dogs, reliable, balanced dogs that will have beautiful reciprocal play with the puppy, because the puppy does need to practice these life skills. That's all normal, like the growling when they're tugging and the shaking and growling a toy. I'm like, oh, well, dude, do your thing. No humans are going to be involved in that, because I don't want that. Any kind of association, I understand that's what you need. I'm going to honor that. That's fine. But you do you. Definitely wouldn't have kids playing with them in that state of mind. I would rather prevent issues than potentially set up more issues, if that makes sense. Another question, Amanda, how do you help get a dog to want to walk on a leash? Well, we start off with teaching our clients, I don't know if you have one of our dogs or not, I'm sorry, but sit on the dog and tether training. So leash work starts in the home. Respect for the leash, positive praise for the leash. The leash becomes this beautiful connection between you and the dog. It's positive. So by starting with those, and if you haven't done them yet, even if your dog's older, go to our YouTube channel, and it's called the Power 3 Series. There's three videos. There's tether training. There's sit on the dog. It literally means you're sitting on the leash, not the dog. And then there is hand feeding. So all three of those, we give those videos to our clients. We strongly, strongly recommend doing those three things with any dog, regardless of the age when you get them. Even if you've had them for a while and you feel like your bond and your connection's not as respectful as you'd like it to be, or you're having an issue of them wanting to walk on the leash, The only thing you can do is put the leash on him, let him drag it around the house for a while. It's kind of hard to not like something stuck to you 24/7. Guess what? Put the leash on him and take him out and play ball if that's their favorite thing. Feed him with, you know, dragging the leash. So you can do some desensitizing as well. So I don't know if either one of those things will help, but those would be three recommendations. Sit on the dog, tether training where they're tethered to you, they're hooked to you, and then dragging the leash if we need to. Yeah. All right, you guys, I'm Jeanette with 4E Kennels. We're not only healing hearts and changing lives through the power of a dog, but we are changing breeding from bad to badass, and it's my mission to mentor, train, teach, guide, lead other breeders as well. There's been such a lack of community, a safe community for breeders. There's been the lack of education, the lack of resources. It's been a very disjointed, isolated world, partly because there's this huge stigma and hate on breeders, and then partly because breeders have been very competitive and scared to share anything that they do. So changing that at the end of the day is so important to me, because the problem is what continues to suffer is our dogs. And at the end of the day, that's truly all that matters. And if we expect them to heal our hearts and change our lives, you know what? We need to step up and do better as well. We need to be better breeders, have higher standards, and we need to be better owners as well. So it's empowering our puppies, empowering you, the owners, and empowering our breeders. And truly this triangle of just badass people is what will change this industry from the bottom up. We can't stop puppy mills if the public keeps funding them. It's not me buying from puppy mills, it's the public. So demand more for our dogs in all aspects. Thank you guys. Love you. I will see you next week. Bye.